Welcome, everyone, to Knuckle Push-Ups. That's a terrible Vince McMahon. I'm Sean Silver. This is the Knuckle Push-Ups podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good friend Patrick O'Connor.
I'm a podcast journalist.
Patrick, the Masked Singer has wrapped up. Christmas is around the corner, which means that there is nothing holding America back from watching the NBA for real.
That's right. I think a lot of the speculation that the ratings are down, there's a problem with the NBA, people don't, they're not caring about the product the way they need to. That's all just concern trolling, because the NBA season for most of America starts on Christmas Day, exactly how God intended it.
Our Boston Celtics will be playing on Christmas Day. It's happened pretty regularly in the last half decade or so. I remember the lockout year. That was like the first game coming back from the lockout, 2011-2012. And ever since the Celtics got good again, they have been a regular feature in Christmas Day games.
I was just about to bring that game up. That's why we're a tag team here, Sean. That I was about to bring that up because that was the Sasha Pavlovic game that Sasha Pavlovic started for the Celtics. And yes. It was truly something.
So that was, I guess you might call that a surprise. You know, it's like that car commercial where the lady thinks Christmas is over and all of a sudden the husband's like, check out back. I got a big Lexus with a bow on it.
Hell of a gift.
Sasha Pavlovic, not exactly a Lexus with a bow on it. Maybe a Dodge Diplomat with a bow on it out of the yard. But nonetheless, this is a season of giving, and Patrick, you and I have been podcast teammates for a long time. I'll just get it out of the way right now. I'll tell you what my gift is for you this Christmas, and it is another season of The Masked Singer on Fox coming up right after the Super Bowl. So we should all be, America should all be very excited.
America's favorite fever dream.
Yes, with Nick Cannon as host when he's not taking pot shots at Fat Joe and Eminem.
Yeah, that was really something, man. What a weird flex to drive up viewership for the finale of The Masked Singer. But to come out swinging at Fat Joe and Eminem and then host a reality show competition starring Jenny McCarthy Wahlberg, Nicole Scherzinger, Robin Thicke, and Ken Jeong, and the third lead of a canceled sitcom in Ken Jeong.
Dr. Ken, though, he absolutely killed it.
His bits, it's kind of like there's an old adage in comedy, like there's the rule of three. So you got to bring something back three times in order for it to feel complete. And then there's also like the rule of 15, where you have to keep doing something until it's well beyond funny. And then when you keep doing it, it just keeps getting funny again. And I think Dr. Ken is really living and dying by the rule of, at this point, 90, because they've really made it like, I know exactly who this is, like a reoccurring bit. And the first two times I heard it last night, I'm like, okay, this is funny. By the third time, I was like, okay, we're defying the laws of comedy here. And by the 90th time he did it, I was ready to replace him with, like, I don't know, get me Joey Fatone on the phone right now.
Oh, jeez. Well, you as the comedy connoisseur, a man of improvisation, a man of wit, me as the meat and potatoes American viewer, I was just quite taken with Dr. Ken, and I was eating everything that he was serving me.
Now you jumped in relatively late. Did you go back and watch season one as well?
I have not watched season one. The unfortunate thing is the fact that I now know who won season one.
Yes.
So it kind of takes the mystery out of it. I don't know if we'll actually go back or if we'll just go into season three. Getting back around to this rap battle thing.
Yeah.
And I know we're not talking about the NBA right now, but damn it, this is our podcast.
Hey, it's Christmas, man. There's a lot of sides that go with the turkey.
And you know what? Knuckle push-ups, it may be sucker-free, but it's not spoiler-free. the natural progression here of this Eminem, Fat Joe, Nick Cannon triad, whatever, the Jersey triad, whatever you want to call this right here, the natural progression is that Wayne Brady, who showcased his rapping skills in the finale,
big time,
he and Nick Cannon are going to go at Marshall Mathers.
I mean,
this is upcoming.
Just
diss track. DJ K Slay, the drama king.
I mean, I hope Wayne Brady drops his verse on Let's Make a Deal, which would truly be something. I don't know, man. Nick Cannon, he was everywhere, and then he kind of like plummeted out of like just public consciousness. I'm sure. I mean, he's always been famous, but then he popped up because he married Mariah Carey, and then he was in a Spike Lee movie. He was actually really good in a Spike Lee movie called Chi-Raq. And then again, like every roller coaster has its dips. So he's down at the bottom of the ramp, and then he's back with the Masked Singer, and he just, I don't know. And then out of nowhere, just firing off shots at Marshall Mathers. It's just kind of strange. It's kind of like when the Rock and Roll Express pops up every now and then to feud with someone.
The NWA World Tag Team Champion, yeah. Rock and Roll Express.
Yeah, they recently did a tour. They did the U.S. tour of New Japan, and they just pop up here and there. Like Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, I'm going to guess are conservatively 75 years old. They should not be out there doing the things that they're doing. It's irresponsible, but it's and I don't know who it's for. So it's, and that I feel the same way about this battle. Like I remember back in the day, like when we were in college, and like that's right when like LimeWire was popping up, you know, and you could find all these hidden tracks, like because we didn't really have access to mixtapes in Easton, Massachusetts, but
not
like
particularly,
but like finding like, you know, diss tracks of Eminem versus Kano, or Eminem versus Cage, or Eminem versus
the Ja Rule 50 Cent feud, was fun.
And like that was when Eminem was going at everyone. He had like a battle, one sided battle going against Everlast for a while. And that was cool back, you know, 18 years ago. It was really cool. But now I'm like, you guys should just be worried about like making sure your kids get to that, they're applying to the right schools. You know, I just don't know what I just can't follow it. I don't know what it's about. What are they,
Pat,
what's he mad about?
I saw you in your younger days take on DJ Bean improv rap battle.
Yeah.
So does that mean, you know, since you're now a father and, you know, you're approaching a certain age,
sure,
a certain level of responsibility, does that mean you're leaving the rap game behind you?
I mean, well, for now. But then when I gotta, I don't know, if my life is a sitcom, I'm going to have to dust off my outfit and my bars and get them back to, like, you know, help my daughter defend herself from a bully or something, which could be good, man. I mean, I had a really good flow. That was like when I was, my rap name was Whack Morris, and I had a lot of Saved by the Bell bars, and it was pretty good, I thought.
Well, nowadays, you just scare the shit out of elementary school children everywhere who are stepping to your daughter.
That's right.
When that time comes around. So, yeah. Put Whack Morris in the mothballs, but look out, world.
That's right. Yeah, I mean it's in a dry cleaner bag. It's been ziplocked. It's been vacuum sealed, and it's ready to go whenever the kid needs me.
I got it. So you got me some of those as seen on TV of space age vacuum bags for all my crap.
Yeah,
that's my Christmas present.
We're all looking for Christmas gifts, and also you didn't have to do that. I really appreciate you bringing the Masked Singer back right after the Super Bowl.
I had a talk with executives, you know, over at Fox. The Silver Fox is, you know, got an in with Fox.
Put Vince McMahon on hold. We've got a live one here.
The sensational fever dream that is the Masked Singer.
It was a really fun season. I'm excited to see what happens next. I was trying to guess who I think some of the celebrities will be on this year. Who is that? It's I think the level is set. They say it's the most famous celebrities they've ever had will be on this season. Which is interesting. I'm excited.
Me too, my friend. Me too. And thank you for introducing me to that. All right, we've spent 10 minutes shooting the shit on the Masked Singer and God knows what else.
Let's leave all of this in.
Let's hand out some Christmas presents. That is what we're here for.
That's right.
I've got a giant sack, and it's full of gifts to give out to NBA teams. Let's get into this thing here. Where do you want to start? Eastern Conference or Western Conference?
I think we go west. Let's start out west, work our way back, like my man St. Nick.
West, where the skies are blue. Ever heard that Village People jam?
No, man. I thought you were gonna start singing like "I'll Get Over You." I know I will. I'll pretend my ship's not sinking, because that's by Go West.
And I tell myself
I'm over you, because I'm. We got a couple
kings.
We got a couple kings of wishful thinking, I think, out there that are just hoping for a good gift. So we're going to make a lot of people happy with this one.
So starting in the West, let's go with the honorary. So tonight, thank God it's them instead of you, team Bono. And that would be the New Orleans Pelicans, who they get the number one pick in the draft improbably after their franchise player, Anthony Davis, I won't say leaves, but demands a trade, and, you know, he had to leave. I'm going to get the Pelicans two gifts because they're in need. I'm feeling charitable. I would like them to have courage in 2020,
mm-hmm.
and I would also like them to have a new coach. If you're New Orleans, push the button. Just blow it up. You thought that you were going to be a playoff team this year, but you don't know when Zion Williamson's coming back, and when he's there, you don't know what he's going to be or how he's going to coalesce with what you've got on that roster. So just hand it over to the new guys and dump Alvin Gentry. Who's Alan Gentry? Is he some sort of Nashville guy? I don't know.
I think he's the first guy they're going to call for their coaching search, I think. It didn't work out with Alvin. Get me Alan Gentry on the phone.
Hello, Alan. We just fired your cousin, Alvin. Potentially, would you be interested in the job?
Hello, Marvin. It's your cousin.
Oh, man. So, but I mean, Alvin Gentry, he's a punching bag for me in terms of my NBA takes, and I'm sorry. Alvin Gentry, it hasn't been consecutive.
You know that new style of basketball you've been looking for? Well, look at this.
He has been coaching since 94-95. Again, not consecutively, but the mid-90s he's been coaching since then. And he has had four teams who finished a season over 500. Absolutely amazing how mediocre this guy is as a coach. And yet the New Orleans Pelicans, you know, because they won a playoff series a couple of years ago or whatever, when they had Anthony Davis and health on their side, they've got him piloting this ship, and it's hit the iceberg. Just crap has fallen off everywhere. The ship has sustained a number of cracks to the hull, and things are not good for the Pelicans right now. It's not pretty.
It's going to be interesting to see what they do and how aggressive they're going to be at the deadlines and leading up to it, because they've got some movable pieces on that team.
Right.
You know, I mean, they could probably move J.J. Redick. I don't know what they're going to get for him. I think you got to, you know, and this is actually going to, I'm sure this will resurface, but I think you could look at teams that are, no, they're not really going anywhere this season. They're not even really, they're just training their team how to be competitive. So you might be able to work a trade like that. Maybe you get him back to Orlando, finish out his career in Orlando. Right. That could be good. Teams like Memphis that are just looking to, you know, kind of get the right pieces in the locker room, because that team's going to be good down the line. So there's ways you could move them. I don't know what you're going to get for them, though. So it's just one of those things. If you're trying to clear cap space, I don't think they're going to be like a big free agent destination, even, you know, probably not in 20. Well, actually, they probably could be pretty aggressive in 2020. It's not a great class, though. So a team like them, they can kind of sit back. I agree with you that they could use some front office changes, and maybe David Griffin can make some calls and get someone in there. Who would you who's on your short list to possibly coach that team?
Well, you know, David Fizdale's looking for a job right now.
Oh yeah, Thibodeau's always out there too. Although I don't know if I don't know if you want Thibodeau with a guy who already has health problems in Zion Williamson.
Right, exactly, and Brandon Ingram. Would age at a Luol Deng pace. He would be 35 next week if Tom Thibodeau became the coach.
I got it. How about this? I got an idea. Like, really kind of like reaching deep into Santa's sack here. What if for the 2021 season, they kind of pull a Brooklyn Nets and they go with a former player, a recently retired player as head coach? What if we're looking at head coach Pau Gasol for the Pelicans? Is that something you think the people of New Orleans could get behind? Do they even care about basketball in that city?
Well, they'd they'd care certainly if they had a superstar and the pieces are in place for one to emerge. That's essentially is Pau now. He has moved to the bench, right? So
yeah, he's an assistant coach for Portland.
Why not? He seemed to be a respected player, seemed to be a kind of a popular guy, got along with a lot of his peers when he was a player in the league. I don't think there's anything holding him back from doing that. That's a pretty good idea there.
And this is going to go in a myriad ways, right? I mean, you could also look at, like, if it's depending on what happens in L.A., like, looks like Frank Vogel can coach the Lakers right now, but maybe
– your man.
Yeah, but maybe he's still in a holding pattern. They're just keeping that seat warm for Jason Kidd, you know, and then maybe Vogel moves over there, or maybe, you know, maybe Mike Brown teams back up with David Griffin to get a run.
Oh, dear Lord.
Who knows? But I think, like, yeah, at this point, you're just hoping for a cult of personality to spring up around Zion. I don't really know if you need to worry about a coach right now, other than the fact that it's like you don't want the troops that are there to build them up to be demoralized. So. And in that vein, what I'm getting the Pelicans for Christmas this year is, rather than giving them something, I'm going to take something off their plate. I'm just going to make it easier for them to just be them. I'm going to take the rest of their National League schedule, their nationally televised games, right off the plate there and redistribute those for them. So that way,
thank God,
they can learn, they can train, they can kind of get up to speed without the and just do it on NBA TV and not have to worry about it.
How many times have you gone looking for a game and it's the Pelicans against anybody? Oof. And you're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Oof. Oof, duh.
So you mentioned the Lakers. Do you have a good gift for the boys in L.A.?
I actually do. I do. I think what I am going to do is I'm going to give them the gift of forgiveness. It's the Lakers are... they're really the end. They're
even
the
if,
yeah.
Even if
they're the steam in my spite engine. I hate that team. I always have. I hate all the arguments about them. I saw some really crappy arguments last night. This whole Kevin Garnett thing has really like stoked the fire of anti-Celtics Twitter, which I gotta get off of. I mean, what are we doing here? But it's just I just go there to get angry now. And I saw some really piss poor trolling by some Lakers fans talking about how it's like most of the Celtics titles came when the league only had 8 teams, and I'm like, yo, 5 of your titles came from Minnesota, and most of your titles come from when there was only 9 teams in the league. Like you won most of your titles before when they won their biggest cluster of titles. That was before 1954. There were 9 teams in the league, and all of those right. were in Minnesota. So if we want to get into the semantics of it. Like I don't think you got to paint the house with one color, you know, with one broad brush. So
let's get technical, Los Angeles.
But it's not.
Let's talk facts.
And it's not worth it. So I think and that really led me to figure out what could I give to this team, and it's just going to be forgiveness, man. I mean, like it's all basketball, and honestly, if we want to go down and look at how it's like, yo, they're playing this well right now because it's two of the best players in the NBA teaming up with a supporting cast that's only there to build up LeBron and Anthony Davis. And guess what? Two of the best guys in the league are getting the best performances out of a ragtag bunch of dudes every night. And that's great. That's great. Mm-hmm. Why I'm like forgiving this team is because we're not going to have this forever. LeBron's in season 17. I don't know how much longer he's going to play at this level. He could go for another 10 years. I don't know. But I do know that it could all end tomorrow. Last year on Christmas Day, LeBron, was it his quad or his calf? First major
what exactly
injury.
Exactly, it was, but it happened,
and
yeah.
Those are going to happen more frequently. I hope not, knock on wood. But Father Time is undefeated. So I'm just going to enjoy the Lakers for what they are. You have my NBA theism cranked all the way up, and I'm just going to enjoy them for what they can do, which is, right now, just about everything.
Perfect timing for LeBron to come out with his new theories on load management. Just in time for the jinx to be applied.
Yeah.
So.
Well, another thing about LeBron. Okay, before I can forgive him on Christmas Day, let me get a couple other things off my chest. Like, for all the stuff, like, you know, this Kevin Garnett stuff this week has been really something. It's really kind of brought the crazies out, and it's really just kind of like here to put like a cramp in my leg. when you compare like how Garnett is saying that the Celtics broke LeBron, they chased him to Miami, all that, that's fine. I share that theory. I don't know if they necessarily broke the man's spirit, but they definitely changed the game plan for him, and I think expedited some stuff, really showed him what it was he needed to go look for. That's great. I'm not taking credit for that, and like the Celtics as a whole are not taking credit for that. But LeBron has said some pretty stupid stuff that goes pretty much unremarked upon. May I remind you, he argued for contraction in the NBA at one point, and then when pressed on it, said he didn't know what that word means. He also like was pretty quick to come at Daryl Morey about how he didn't understand what he was saying during the whole China thing in the beginning of the season. I'm pretty sure a former correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't Daryl Morey like a professor at MIT, or like
he's got some Ivy League or Ivy League adjacent?
Yes, Ivy League adjacent background. Credentials.
Yes,
he started the Sloan Conference. I'm pretty sure he knew what he was talking about, and I'm pretty sure it was like well researched. He seems like a pretty learned guy. So, but that's all cloak and dagger bullshit, because LeBron has money interests in China, and that's great too. But don't dress it up and give me this bullshit that it's like he didn't know what he was talking about. All right, so now that that's off my chest, talk to me about it on the fucking barbershop, LeBron. So after that, or the shop rather, excuse me, the shop. Barbershop was an Ice Cube movie.
Are you going to super kick him through a window? Well, because I'd pay to see that.
I don't think I can stretch that high. LeBron's pretty tall. Barbershop was an Ice Cube movie. The Shop is a show on Showtime.
There you go.
Now that that's all off my chest, bygones be bygones. LeBron, you're a once in a generational talent, and I'm just going to enjoy it while you got it. It's the only time I would ever do it for a Laker. So. Godspeed. Merry Christmas, bud.
You know what, LeBron? Yeah, be grateful. Patrick O'Connor gave you his forgiveness this Christmas.
A nobody right? from nowhere has forgiven you.
All right. Moving along, another contender in the West would be the Denver Nuggets. And I am going to get them the hottest gift of the 2019 Christmas season. I'm going to get them the biggest gift on social media, and that is a Peloton. I mean, it's specifically for Nikola Jokic. This is a man whose game has picked up of late. He had another near triple double the other night with like 13 assists. Good for him. But why does he look like Fat Mac from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia out there? I mean, this is a guy who is at the very pinnacle of his profession, has a tremendous amount of talent, and just came in to training camp just looking straight up bloated. And it hasn't really changed. I mean, he's got the Rasheed Wallace 2010 physique going for him. And his numbers have been down. His 3-point shooting is down. Generally any category that involves energy or endurance has not reflected well for him. But the Nuggets, they're a nice team. For them to be elite, they need this guy to absolutely go off. So here's hoping that he plays his way into shape as the season progresses.
It's going to help with that lung capacity too. The air is thin in Denver. Yeah, no, because they're so expensive, I'm going to go in with you on that gift. So
thank you.
Congratulations, Denver Nuggets. And
one condition, though, that he takes a video log of his entire experience and shares it with us on the Knuckle Pushups podcast next Christmas morning.
Next Christmas. I don't have
Race
a second
in Boston, 50 rides.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Oh, man. What a timestamp.
Good Lord. All right. Next, let's do another team that got to be nice to them this year. The Sacramento Kings. What a fun little league pass team last year at this time. I enjoyed it immensely. And yet this year, you get some injuries. You got a new coach. They're still hanging around. They started the season kind of poorly, and people were like, "Oh, the Kings, that was a 1-year blip. You know, let's recalibrate our expectations for this team." But Luke Walton's got them hanging around. He's also got them playing at the slowest pace in the league. So now you got back De'Aaron Fox, who's a speed demon. You really wonder how that all meshes together there. The thing that I want to give the Sacramento Kings is a direction. Not only for this year, like what are you this year, but what are you going to be? You know, are you going to be not that you can pull down, you know, the generational Chris Webber and stick him into this team and suddenly have a playoff contender, but is this going to be the first relevant team in Sacramento since the early 2000s, or is this just another flash in the pan?
I think
that's what I want to know.
They're 2 years away from being 2 years away, but they've got a lot of the right pieces there. I think for my Christmas gift to them is going to be an accountant. Just an accountant that sits on Vlade Divac's shoulder and tells him what to do and what not to do. Because they have a lot of really fun, interesting pieces, but the money situation in Sacramento is about to fall. It's about to bottom out at the end of this season. Like, you've paid Buddy Hield, you've paid Harrison Barnes. They're going to lose Bogdan Bogdanovich because they're not going to
be. Is that one Bogdan or is that one Boyan?
They're going to lose Bogdanovich. We'll just.
Yes.
Be Bogdanovich. But they're going to lose him. They're going to lose their, you know.
They're going to lose Eastern European Arcand. Yeah,
I was going to say. I was going to call him Eastern European Kyle Korver. They're going to lose him because they're not going to. That kid's going to get paid and they're not going to be able to match it without completely crippling their team. So.
That's unfortunate because that was a good find by them.
It was. And I would get them an accountant and maybe the book Moneyball, and they can look at like how they can start buying wins. It's they're going to be a real – I think they have the potential of being a real sprawl ball type of team, and they could be one of the first ones to crack it. But it's not going to be easy unless they make some hard cuts and try to like get some more assets and try to find more guys like Bogdanovich – well, however they can, and maybe become a Northern California version of the Spurs, what the Spurs were to like the mid-2000s.
Yeah, that would certainly be looking on the bright side because we haven't seen anything like that out of Sacramento. I mean, there's literally been one era of that team's history. It's the Kings, right? You trace back, they go back to being the Cincinnati Royals, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So they've always had a regal name.
They got the best alternate jerseys in basketball right now, and they wear the Lion ones.
Oh, they look those
like,
are nice.
Like the Premier League jerseys are just awesome.
Those are nice. I do like those. So, yeah, I mean, this is a franchise that had Oscar Robertson at one point. They didn't really matter much at any point during our lifetime, except when Jim Less was in the All-Star three-point shootout, you know, wearing the uniform with the name underneath the number back there in the late 80s, early 90s. Jim Less, a fine long-range marksman. They had a good run with Mitch Richmond there, who I believe, is he already in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame, or is he up for consideration?
I'll check it out.
Confused. There's a new crop that's coming out this year. We should talk about this in a future pod. Maybe a holiday kind of fun pod where we just talk about future Hall of Famers.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be all serious like other sports. It's the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Everybody gets in. You know, Chris Bosh, you didn't like Chris Bosh? Too bad. He's getting in anyways.
Antoine Jameson, doesn't matter. He's going in.
Sure. Scored a lot of points. But yeah, the real only era with the Kings that has mattered in the last 50 years is that C. Webb, Stojakovic, Mike Bibby, that Kings team.
He is in the Hall of Fame.
Mitch Richmond?
Yeah.
Much deserved. Great scorer.
Enshrined in 2014.
Okay. I think he averaged like over 22 points a game in like 13 straight seasons or something crazy like that. Mitch Richmond was just, he was a baller. You'd mentioned Moneyball. I want to talk Maury Ball with the last gift to a Western Conference team, and that is just a big fat lump of coal in the stocking of the Houston Rockets. Because you know what? I'm tired of you. You're ruining my game. I do not like James Harden. I know that if you were to run analytics on Twitter, that James Harden is the number one most loathed professional basketball player. It's extremely basic of me to be taking shots at James Harden on this podcast. But you know what? You haven't done me any favors, Houston. All I get to do is watch your crap with your guy putting up 39 points per game and bastardizing the game that I love. You get a lump of coal.
He's the Seth Rollins of the NBA. And let's use your lump of coal to burn it down. But here's the thing about Moneyball is because we can give them the biggest lump of coal we can find, and they're going to find some way to just compress it into a diamond.
Yeah, right?
But I don't see them.
But not a high-quality diamond.
No.
The clarity will be, to paraphrase David on Friends, the clarity will be quite poor.
You will be going to Zales. Knuckle Push-Ups brought to you by ROM Diamonds. We're just running down
just competition. Just got our first big sponsor.
Oh, boy. Yeah, no, I mean, I think the thing about Houston could be the most impressive single-game team in the NBA right now. Right, yeah. They're going to put up multiple games, and Harden's going to have multiple games that's going to be the talk of the NBA blogosphere for a couple days. Right, just these statistical anomalies, like that he's putting up an offensive season like we have not seen since Wilt Chamberlain, all that stuff. Wonderful, James. But like, let's get out of the second round of the playoffs. And when you live by the three, you die by it as well. And they have died by it for the last couple seasons consistently. Maybe I'm wrong this year. Maybe all he needed was Russ in a Robin type of role to his Batman. But yeah, man, I mean, I'd be more interested in giving them coal just to see what they do with it. So let's see what they do with it.
The verdict is out on the Westbrook Harden pairing, but yeah, it's about winning playoff series, and they just haven't done that. Now, heading out east, you mentioned kind of live by the three, die by the three. A team that's doing that right now is the Milwaukee Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no coincidence that Mike Budenholzer, a guy that coached the Hawks to 60 wins back in 2015 using a very similar sort of system, is there now. I mean, is this smoke and mirrors for them? Did they get a hold of, you know, a packet of magic beans perhaps? And they're just kind of living off the magic beans right now, and time's going to run out come playoff time? Or is this like legitimate here? You have a transcendent superstar in Giannis Antetokounmpo. Nobody can stop him. He's going to get his, but the key is the supporting cast is just going to there's going to be a hailstorm of three-pointers all around you.
Yeah, Sean, as of pod time, the Bucks are up 108-99 over the Lakers, 3 minutes to go in the fourth.
Wow.
So,
magic beans, baby.
Magic beans. I mean, that's put that on a t-shirt. Okay, that goes right up there with, do we have any other, we had a couple other t-shirt ideas so far, but Magic Beans right now, we might have to rebrand this podcast to Magic Beans.
I believe they're called Professor Copperfield's Miracle Legumes, if you saw that Office episode where Dwight tries to trade a paperclip up for a variety of items at a yard sale, and then Jim lures him into the Miracle Legumes, so... Magic beans, miracle legumes. The Bucks are taking something right now.
Yeah, well, it's not just cheese they're eating out in Wisconsin. But yeah, I think what I would like to give the Bucks is just mindfulness. You don't get this every single season. And for Bucks fans as well, just enjoy it, man. I mean, there has not been a player like Giannis in a long time, if ever, who has literally gotten better every single year. It's hard to be in contention for MVP and most improved every single year in tandem. And it's just very special what we're watching. It's kind of like it's like a parallel. I wouldn't say it's the anti-LeBron, but it's a parallel universe LeBron, where this could be the dude. I mean, after LeBron is done, the NBA, the two guys who could be the face of the NBA or competing to be the face of the NBA are Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic. Like, it's a global game now. So just be thankful and be present in the moment that your town in the Midwest, a small market team by any stretch, is going to be the epicenter for basketball. Like, they haven't been since Lew Alcindor was playing there.
You mentioned a couple things in your analysis there that made me think of the next team that we're going to do a little Secret Santa for. You mentioned, of course, Mike Budenholzer, and you mentioned Luka Doncic. The Atlanta Hawks had a chance to draft Luka Doncic. Instead, they went with Trae Young, which everybody was saying at the beginning of last season, oh, man, that was a lopsided trade. Then Trae Young came around, and it was like, all right, these guys are pretty much even. Well, Trae Young lost his running mate early in the season, or at least one of those running mates, to a that was a PED suspension for Collins, right?
That's correct.
And now they're giving up 143 points and losing to the Knicks as of pod time, 6-22, the second worst record in the NBA, the Atlanta Hawks.
Oof, 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 oof. For Christmas this year, Atlanta, I've gotten you two gifts. Number one is I've got you a early entry pass to the NBA buyout season because I think with $4.8 million to go under the they're under the cap by $4.8 million, that's a pretty
penny. They're the lowest in the whole league,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So they can be pretty active in the buyouts, and they can probably pick up some guys that are going to help them get to where they need to be in 2 years from now. Just, again, coaching up the younger guys and kind of just putting the right type of team around Trae Young, even if it is piecemeal together. They're also, I think, $25 million under the salary cap, so they can get them
the luxury tax.
The luxury tax, excuse me. So they're going to get themselves into a pretty good position to attract some mid-level talent or maybe some guys that are looking to get paid. Maybe they're on like the downside or they're coming off of the peak and they're looking to get paid one more time, like a big payday. To play with John Collins and Trae Young and some other young pieces in Atlanta that they'll keep acquiring, or even like guys like Evan Turner, who are kind of moving into this almost Jared Dudley type of locker room role.
They can Andre Miller-like.
Exactly, the professor. Like, they'll be able to pull some new talent in. Like, whoever the 2020 version of Amari Stoudemire is could wind up going to Atlanta. So I'm going to get you, like, so for Atlanta, I'm clearing it out for you. You get to go first with the buyout market and really make an impact there. The other thing I'm going to get you is I found it in a closet, and I'm bringing it back. I'm giving it back to you guys. The best logo in sports. Let's get that 2015 Atlanta Hawks logo back. Like the
circle one.
The circle one. Atlanta Hawks Basketball Club. It's the best logo in sports. It was the best uniform in basketball. I don't know why.
What happened?
They went with this weird highlighter thing and just an italic font. I'm not a huge fan, but yeah. So just, you know, you don't have to wear it every game, but for those special ones, this is just for you.
Okay, Christmas is all about special times and special presents. I'm going to give you the gift of defense. You can thank me later. Let's talk about another team that's having a piece of shit season in the East. That would be the New York Knicks.
What a transition.
Put up 143.
Let's talk
on the
about
Hawks.
Another team that's having a piece of shit season. Oh, boy. Oh, I love it.
These guys have won 3 out of 4, Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
They beat Golden State, they beat Sacramento, the aforementioned. And they beat Atlanta, putting up 143 points. Their new head coach, Mike Miller, not that Mike Miller. James Dolan's not going anywhere in New York. So you're going to have to do this just out of spite.
Yeah.
You're going to have to, if things are going to work for the Knicks at any point ever, you're going to have to do it out of spite. I don't know if the figureheads at the personnel and in the front office in the quarter office are the types of guys who can lead them to that level. I mean, their free agency track record last summer did not inspire confidence for me. There's got to be some point here where the Knicks don't suck. I mean, when was the last? Well, there was a blip there that year that Carmelo and the Knicks. What did Tom Ziller say? They broke the Celtics?
Oh, yeah, the year the 2012, the year the Knicks broke the Celtics.
Oh, God.
Okay, but, okay, you know, sour grapes. That, I love your newsletter. But
yeah, other love Ziller. So other than that Linsanity Carmelo blip early in the decade, as we transition to yet a new decade, I mean, the last time that the Knicks, other than that, had a winning season was when we were in college.
Yeah.
And that was a long time ago.
That was a long-ass time ago.
So what are you going to get the Knicks, Patrick?
I'm going to get I did some checking, and looks like CBD oil is legal in the state of New York, so I'm going to get them a shit ton of CBD and a prescription to Ativan, because it's a super anxious time. I need everyone just to chill out. It's still New York, man, and like Frank Sinatra once sang, if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. It's only a matter of time before New York comes back. You've got everything in the world going for you. It's the best city on the planet. You've got the funniest people on Twitter are from New York or Knicks fans. You know, you've got everything going for you. And it's only a matter of time before the NBA catches on before someone comes in and is like, I know all people say all this shit, but you know where I want to be? I want to be the number one guy in the number one market. And it's all going to come around. I mean, maybe that winds up being RJ Barrett, or maybe it's Giannis. Who knows? But you just got to stay positive. And until then, enjoy the circus 41 times a year.
I've got a suggestion for a song that Jimmy D and the Straight Shot can cover. Okay. And it's a little Elvis Costello. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? I don't think he originated that song.
No.
That was someone else, right?
It was someone else. But, I mean, Elvis did the quintessential version of that.
I would agree with you on that. Because, obviously, we are referencing it here.
As I walk through.
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Originally written by Nick Lowe.
Ooh.
Solid performer.
Yes. Great songwriter.
To my estimation, that's the only thing that's going to make life bearable for the Knicks. And again, yeah, just look around, man. It's stars, man. Stars look beautiful tonight.
Nothing makes a win feel better than knowing what losing feels like. And it's going to wind up being a real Cleveland Indians Major League or Mighty Ducks situation here.
That be cathartic as hell.
There's only one thing left for them to do, Sean, and that's win the whole fucking thing. I don't know if you want to. I don't know if they're going to put a Velcro stand up of James Dolan in the locker room, but whatever gets it done, they'll be back. Okay, because right now the highest profile media coverage for the Knicks, I think in the last 20 years, has been Whoopi Goldberg coaching them and Eddie. And eventually that's just not going to stand for much longer. I don't know who's going to step in and do it, but someone will take this burden on. And they'll be there and the Knicks are going to be good again. I don't know when that is going to happen, but it's going to happen this decade. And I'm looking forward to it.
The Knicks were actually a great date idea in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Yes, they were. They were.
How far the mighty have fallen. So there's a team that's never been quite mighty, a team that's never won an NBA championship. They won some ABA championships. Have you ever read Loose Balls by Terry Pluto?
I have not. It's on my list, though.
Yeah, it's a fantastic one. And, you know, I got a list a mile long. That's one that I actually have dug into and enjoyed a lot. I mean, the Pacers were a fantastic franchise and you know, have been, maybe you wouldn't use an adjective like fantastic, but they've been a solid franchise for a lot of years. They've managed to pop up, and not just during the Reggie Miller era, but after that. I mean, they've managed to stay in the conversation at times, the Frank Vogel years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's another time where I don't know if everybody is kind of touting this, but the Pacers are my dark horse Eastern Conference favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Once Victor Oladipo comes back, now that he is done being the thingamajig on The Masked Singer, I am gifting the Indiana Pacers chemistry so the revelation of Malcolm Brogdon can coexist with the supernova that is a healthy Victor Oladipo, the bruising front court of Domantas Sabonis and Miles Turner, the swingman wizardry of T.J. Warren, the 80s teen movie villain that is T.J. McConnell.
That's right.
And the Indiana Pacers, using my Christmas gift to them, will be the team to come out of the East.
You know, and here's the thing. Other than being the bad guy from Teen Wolf in T.J. McConnell, I think that there's nothing on that team not to like. That's a really likable team. You know, so what I'm going to give to them, I'm going to give them the nationally televised games that I took from the Pelicans. And I'm going to give them to the Indiana Pacers. Let's get some eyeballs on those guys. They're a fun team to watch. They're a likable team. They've got some like 04, 03, 04 Pistons vibes to them, in the sense that it's kind of like this team that's kind of cobbled together of just people who you don't know, but they're fun to watch and they're competitive.
They're deep. Like, yeah. there's talent everywhere on the floor. And I know that's not the model that usually wins. That's why you're making a very specific reference to a team like the Pistons.
Yes.
But that, to me, is cool. Like, I like a well-constructed team top to bottom.
Well, I mean, that's got to be the answer to, like, the James Harden era of just nothing but threes, right? I mean, where it's like, even though Indiana takes their fair share of shots from beyond the arc.
Sure,
but
yeah.
They're just a much more evenly spread out team and a much more complete style of hoops that actually looks like basketball. So I think I'd like to get some.
I'm rooting for that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I mean, let's get some eyeballs on the rest of the league. It doesn't just have to be about who's popping off on Twitter.
That's true, man. All right. Well, let's finish up this gift-giving spree because I'll tell you, Patrick, this was office holiday party week.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you're putting in some major dad time right now. Oh, so yeah. I don't know if you got into the office holiday party this year. That's a no.
I have not.
I've had a lot of my unbridled consumption of sugar this week has resulted in a lot of crashes.
Sure.
So, you know, on a Thursday night doing this pod, I only got the energy to wrap one more gift. And it's going to be for my Boston Celtic. My gift is going to be prime Gordon Hayward.
Mm-hmm.
He's got another injury. They're talking about the Danny Ainge was on Toucher and Rich Thursday morning, and he describes it as the area where the foot meets the toe. So it's not, you know, it's his left leg, sure, but it's not up in the actual leg.
Is this closer to maybe like the injury that derailed Shaq's career or maybe that did some damage to Joakim Noah?
Well, I certainly hope it's not that kind of
severity. It's not plantar fasciitis or anything, is it?
Well, maybe it is. I mean, this does sound like the kind of thing. Like, I've had a lot of foot problems because I just genetically I've been given terrible feet. and I've seen a podiatrist many times in my life. And once they said, yeah, you have a neuroma. It's like this inflamed nerve that it feels like you got like a rock in your foot. And it's right near where the toe hits the foot. So maybe he has that. But Hayward's getting an MRI on Friday. The results to follow from there. Say what you want about Boston's roster construction, but I feel like it's the most fun and potentially the most successful with Gordon Hayward in that mix this season. So I want him healthy. I want him looking like the guy that started the season for this team. Everything else, everybody else, be damned. Let's see the Celtics team give it a go with their four star players plus Marcus Smart all at 100%.
And again, I mean, you know, kids, your dad, Sean, got you the big gift, but Uncle Patrick's just coming in with some stocking stuffers here.
Okay.
What I'm going to do for the Celtics this season, in addition to giving them like another $15,000 for season tickets next season, is going to be what I'm going to do is I'm going to take your phones and I'm just going to go ahead and preemptively block anyone from Philadelphia, from Milwaukee, or from Los Angeles so they don't even clog up your Twitter timeline, guys. Let's just stay focused on eyes on the prize. Don't let those bullies get you down. Stop following cookie hoops. Stop looking at like just gifs of mean things said about Boston. You don't need to cloud your mind with that negative energy. Just stay focused on what we got, and what we got is something good. We got the four horsemen here. All right, we got Arn and Tully and Jay and Jay and Jalen and Jason. Get him, Jay. We got Ric Flair and Gordon Hayward. And who would you say is the Barry Windham of this group?
You, really? You're putting Hayward down as Flair?
I mean, it's the hair. So I guess, you get your guy out in front, Kemba. Is Kemba Walker the Ric Flair of the Boston Celtics?
Well, yeah. I mean, he's nominally, he's the star. He's the highest paid.
And started his career in Charlotte.
Yes.
He's the Ric Flair.
Yes. Now, I would say that
the nature boy, Kemba Walker.
Like, Arn and Tully, right? I would say that, you know, that other guy was always the guy who kind of didn't fit in or exhibited heel tendencies.
Right, the Paul Roma.
So, remember when Luger was there?
Luger, Sting.
Was kicked out.
Yeah.
You know, Sting was there. Sting was kicked out.
Barry Windham.
I would say that this guy is Jason Tatum.
Okay. Ooh.
Jason Tatum is the guy right now who is not really fitting in. He's the guy who's still kind of trying to find his identity. And, yeah, he's the youngest of the bunch. He's still only 19, as we've been reminded.
Right. Now and forever. Forever 19.
He's only 19, but his mind is old, as was said multiple times in Hamilton. Shout out Mobb Deep. It's Jason Tatum is the horseman who doesn't quite fit in, at least yet, to me.
Jason Mongo Tatum. So, all right, so that's... Well, we can save that for, you know, it's Christmas, Sean. Let's just okay. gather around the table right. here. No politics, no regional differences here. Let's just enjoy some nog, various types of nog.
No conspiracy theories about Jason Tatum potentially turning heel.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, right? That's a discussion for New Year's.
Leave that to Cookie Hoops.
leave that to the infiltrators at Cookie Hoops and the interns that run the Twitter account. But I think I love Tatum. Let me rephrase. I want to love Tatum. I love him, but I really want to be in love with him. And I think that he could be the dude, or you're right. I mean, he could be the guy that they move. I think he could still net a pretty good return for Jason Tatum. I think the big fear there is, like, what does he turn into, and isn't he worth waiting around to find out? And I don't know if the Seas are going to win the title this year. I think if the Seas are going to win the title, it's going to be because it's going to be like a Raptors Golden State situation. It's going to be just firecrackers going off people's legs. And that's the only way I think they're going to win this year. It's going to be hard to derail the Bucks. And also, if Gordon Hayward is not staying on the floor, it's going to be tough. So, but these are the tough times that can really make a player really good. So in addition, I'm going to throw some patience of my own into the stocking for these guys, and I'm going to stick with you as long as they stick around.
Look at you, so generous. I mean, all you do, Patrick.
I'm a giver.
You give, you give to this organization, and then at Christmas you give once again.
The last time I went to a game, they honored a season ticket holder mid game. Who has been a season ticket holder for 4 decades. They gave him a signed basketball and a gift certificate to a restaurant I'm pretty sure the Celtics own. Like, so,
and it's a Bruins move right there.
So that's, I'm pretty sure that's tens of thousands of dollars he's added to this organization. And, you know, all I can do is hope to be that guy. You've got my loyalty, and that's all you need.
You're going to get that gift certificate. You're going to be like Cedric Maxwell winning the 81 Finals MVP and getting a Seiko watch in a wood box.
Let me get a napkin just to wipe my mouth. The greatest audio drop ever of Cornbread.
And that's saying something, because there's so many with that guy. I'm working a couple of Celtics games at the Hub over the holidays, and I just can't wait to just sit in a room with a television and a computer monitor on which I'm writing down all my notes to do the halftime and post-game coverage, and just listen to Cedric Maxwell.
I do.
Just consecutively. No interruptions, nobody walking in, no errands to run, nothing. Just me listening to Cedric Maxwell.
I saw him at a Knicks game last year. Like, so I decided to pull a Sean Silver. And I'm going to go, my goal for my life is to go see basketball in every single arena around the country.
That's right.
My wife and I kicked it off. We went to the Mecca. We went to Madison Square Garden to see the Seas take on the Knicks. And I walked down to get a photo, just like one level down from where I was. Turned out to be like where all the media sat, saw Cornbread. We just both locked eyes, and then we shrugged at each other. And it was the greatest moment of my life. I was just like, hey. And he goes, he just like saw that I was all decked out in Celtic stuff. And he's like, it wasn't pretty, but we got it. And I was like, yes, sir, we did. And Lauren was like, who is that? Do you know that person? Who is that?
Who is that?
And then we found out we were pregnant. So that trip is on pause.
We'll get around to it sometime.
We'll get there.
Where are you headed next? Where would you like to head next?
I mean,
if you had your druthers.
If I had my druthers, I'd probably go to California. I'd go bang out
Staples.
Yeah, I'd bang out a couple games at Staples and work my way up the coast, and then work my way back. It's winter. It's the coldest it's been in a long time in Boston right now. So I'd love to get out in that sunshine. I'd like to go make peace with LeBron in person.
That's nice. I'm sure he'll really appreciate that.
Well, I'd appreciate the downloads of the pod. So, hey, man, whatever.
Yeah, we're just putting it out there. Knuckle push-ups, boys, handing out Christmas gifts. Little Secret Santa action.
That's right.
As we're on the cusp of Christmas, the holiday season. Patrick, I wish the best to you and yours all the time, but particularly this time of year. I don't think we'll be potting it up next week.
No, it's the holidays, baby.
Yeah, it's the holidays, but we'll be back. We'll resurface right around the start of 2020 to bring you more audio goodness and hot take a bus segments.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that, but yeah, this is fun, man, as it usually is, and we'll look to have more fun next year.